original saying.
Yeah.
We all know that that it means, like, if I'm not for myself, then who am I for? And like, when I am for myself, what am I? And if not now, then when? But then it goes on to explain, like, using the Lashon of Zohar, like, if I don't, like, deserve myself.
Stop for a second. Zoche batzmi is kind of a technical term, which means to, like, zoche batzmi means, like, to make an acquisition in myself, meaning to take control of myself.
Right, and if you don't live your life like that, like, if you're not, like, always in control and you're not, like, constantly learning or asking questions or, like, challenging yourself, then like, no one else could be.
So how does that fit with the middle statement?
With the bolded statement?
The middle of the three. In other words, we have three statements, right? Imeinei l'mili, right? Continues the second one, third one, right? Last one is Bimla Shavim Atai. And the middle one is explained by the Avot Rabbi Natan as imani lo zocheh batzmi mi yizkebi batzmi. How does that fit with you know what I'm saying? How's that? Yeah.
Because in the Gemara, asking, like, also the mountains, that's like done for him, or so, like, trying to, like, do it for him, and, like, you can't.
But, I mean, how's that fit with, before we get to that, you're way ahead of me. But on the Mishnah and Avot, how does the middle statement, right, after him, ain't ani li mili, how's the next statement fit with ukisha? How's that fit with im ani lo zocheh batzmi mi yizkeh bi batzmi, right? Which is the Avot Rabbi Natan's commentary on that line. So how's it fit together? You see the question by me here? If we translate ukisha ani latzmi ma'ani as it usually is translated, as it's usually explained, if I'm only for myself, then, you know, what's the good? You know, what good am I? Then it doesn't seem to fit with the Avot Rabbi Natan at all. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
I was going to say, if I'm only for myself, then what good am I if I can't be zocheh for myself? Like, if I'm only for myself, then what am I? So what does that mean? What am I if I'm only for myself? So, I mean, if you're not zocheh for yourself, then what are you if you're only for yourself? Just, like, expanding on it.
How's he expanding on it?
Because he adds, "Kshani l'atzmi ma'ani." So what does that mean? It means if I'm not zocheh b'atzmi, then who's going to be for me? Like, what? Like, I'm nothing because I'm for myself, but I have no, like, I'm not zocheh for myself. So, like, what am I?
Okay, I mean, I think we have to understand what imani lo zocheh b'atzmi means. Zocheh b'atzmi means, like, really to like acquire myself. I mean, like, which I'll explain in just a moment. But yeah. Go ahead.
Maybe it's also saying, like, if you don't, like, help others, then no one's going to help you. Like, I know it's not the exact translation of Zohar.
Okay. I have a radical suggestion. I know it's not the way that, in general, Mefarshim understand this Mishnah, not in general how we are, you know, we are accustomed to translate this Mishnah, but it seems to me that the Avot Rabbi Natan reads the Mishnah a little bit differently than we're accustomed to. And I mean that word literally, reads it a little differently than we're accustomed to read it. Okay, I'd like to read the Mishnah the way I think the Avot Rabbi Natan read it, and let's see if it fits a little bit better. Okay? Mishnah Yudalid. Hu haya omer, im ein ani li mili. Okay? Says the Avot Rabbi Natan, explains it as, if I don't take responsibility, if I don't take charge of, if I don't take responsibility for my own life, right, so who can possibly do it for me? I have to be responsible for my own life. Now, according to standard translation, the next phrase is a qualification. Yes, I have to be responsible for my own life, I have to be, you know, I have to be for myself, but I can't be just for myself, okay? I can't be selfish. But I think that's true, but I don't think that's the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on to say, and im ein ani li mili really doesn't mean if, certainly according to Rabbi Natan, doesn't mean if I am not concerned about myself, if I'm not if I don't worry about myself. It means if I don't take responsibility for myself, if I don't feel that I'm responsible for who I am and I just leave it up to others, it's not going to work because I'm ultimately responsible for myself. But continues the Mishnah. Ready for this? Okay, it's good that everyone's sitting down. Here we go. I think the way the Avot Dvar Natan read, the reading of the Mishnah, that the Avot Dvar Natan reflects, second phrase, anyone have it? Different way of reading it. Same letters, but different reading. What? Beautiful. Ukishe'eni la'atzmi ma'ani. It's not a qualification or a partial retraction of the last statement, but it's an amplification of it. It's a continuation. In other words, the Mishnah says like this, it's saying basically two things, three parts, basically two ideas. Hu ayah omer, im ein ani li mili. If I don't take responsibility for myself, no one else is going to do it. I have to take responsibility for myself. Ukeshe'eni la'atzmi, if I don't take responsibility for myself, and look how beautiful that fits with the Avot Dvar Natan, right? Ukeshe'eni la'atzmi ma'ani, im ani lo zoche ba'atzmi, mi yizkepi ba'atzmi. Meaning, if I don't take responsibility for myself, then ma'ani, then what am I? If I say that I'm not responsible for who I am, I'm just a product of my environment. I'm just whatever, you know, however I float through life and things impact on me, and depending on who my family is and what school I go to and what my community is like and what my friends are, my this and that, and that, that's who I am, that's what I am. Says Hillel, no. Huayomer im ein ani li mili. No one else is responsible for me and how I turn out and who I am other than myself. Ukeshe'eni la'atzmi, and if I don't do that, then ma'ani, then what am I? I'm just an object that's impacted on by my environment. And continues the mission of imlo achshav eimatai, and I can't put it off. I have to take responsibility for myself, and I have to do it this moment. This is what I think Hillel is saying here. I just want to point out, yes?
I'm not sure the difference between the first and second one. I'm both saying I don't take responsibility for myself.
What's the difference between the first statement and the second? The difference is that the first is saying that I need to take responsibility for myself and not place the blame / responsibility for who I am on anyone or anything else. Okay, that's the first statement. The second is saying that, and I need to do that because if I don't, if I let myself just be the product of whatever circumstances, environment, etc., then what am I? I'm not a person anymore. I'm not a human being anymore. The grace of a human being is that I can do that I can decide who I'm going to be. Yes, please.
But isn't it true that everyone has influences in their life? They don't just
Absolutely.
Come up with things by themselves.
Well, everyone has influences on themselves, and that's exactly the point of Mishnayot of Hillel. If you look at the Mishnayot of Hillel, very briefly, because we could spend hours just on this one point, in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet of Avot, we see two things. Number one is that every statement of Hillel here connects with some major episode in his life. Okay, we're not going to do that now, it's not our topic, we're not going to go into it, but I could show you point by point the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara elsewhere, a number of different, especially in Psalm, but a number of different cases we have parallels to the story of Hillel, and we can discuss just one of them, which we all know. But in any case, that's one thing. The second thing is, all the Mishnayot of Hillel, both in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, deal primarily, the major topic of all of them, or certainly most of them, is the issue of the environment. Okay, influences, impacts, on the one hand, and personal responsibility and determination of our own destiny on the other. And the balance between those two ideas. So let me give you an example or two of what I'm talking about. I'm not going through everything. Again, I said we take a lot of time, but just very quickly, I want to show you what I'm talking about. On the one hand, Hillel says, "Hevei mi talmidev shel Aaron, oev shalom v'rodev shalom oevet habriot u'mekarvan l'Torah." I should be a good influence. I should have a good impact on those around me, right? I should live in such a way, I should have the character, and I should have the actions and the demeanor such that I'm going to have a positive impact on others, because people are impacted by the people they know, the people around them, right? That's the environment. That's the impact of the influences. As you said, quite correctly, Hill acknowledges that that's an important part of life. But he goes on to say, don't therefore think, right, that I can say, you know what? What do you want from me? I don't have a hillel in my life. If I had a good Rebbe, if I had good, if my rabbi, my shul were better, if my, you know, teachers, if my parents, if my big brothers and sisters, if my friends, if they were different, so then I'd be, you know, then, but what do you want from me? Says Hillel, it's true that the environment is important, that there are influences and impacts, etc., and we should try to choose as positive an environment as possible, and we should try to make as positive an environment as possible for others as well as ourselves. But, who are you, Omer? Im ein ani li, mi li. Ultimately, I'm responsible for myself. U'kasha'eni la'atzmi, and if I'm not like that, if I just say, well, what do you want? So, ma'ani, what am I? I'm nothing. V'imlo achshav ematai, and I can't put it off. You go to Perek Bet. You go to Perek Bet, and there are very similar ideas. For example, take a look at the end. Al tomar kishefne eshne shema lo tipanen. It's the same two ideas as we have in Mishnah Yudal in Perek Aleph. Why? A person shouldn't say, I'll learn tomorrow when I have time. Today I'm too busy. Okay? Today I can't. Circumstances aren't conducive. I'll learn tomorrow. So it's a strange Mishnah on the surface because Mimanashach. Do I have time tomorrow? I'm sorry, do I have time today to learn? So if you're going to say that I have time today, so then what difference does it make whether I'm going to have time tomorrow? I should learn today because I can learn today, right? And if I don't have time today, what difference does it make whether I'm going to end up having time tomorrow? But I don't have time today. So what do you want? It says, but that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. The Pshat in the Mishnah is, listen very carefully, Al tomar kishefne eshne, shema lo tipane. Don't say that, well, circumstances are such today that it's just, I just can't. I'll do it tomorrow. Because you know what's going to happen if you say that? You know what's going to happen? Who is going to have time tomorrow? Who's going to find time tomorrow to do the things that are important to do? The same person who makes time today. The same person who finds the time today. The person who says, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's is just going to turn into today. And it's going to be the same story over and over again. Al tamar kishef ne'eshne, shema lo tipaneh. And here we have both ideas of Hillel's in the Mishnah, in Mishnah Yudal and Perek Aleph. Namely, number one, don't say, well, circumstances, the environment, situation, I can't. Decide that that's what you're going to do. Decide that you're going to take responsibility for what your life is going to be like. Don't say, well, you know, when circumstances are different. And number two, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today, right? And that's number one. Im ein ani li mili, ukshani latmi ma'ani. And number two, and what's number two? Bimlo achshav imatai, right? These are the same ideas, they're just different forms of it. And we find these things again and again. I'll go a step further. Isn't this a story of Hillel? What happens with Hillel? We all know the famous story of Hillel, right? Hillel was dirt poor. And he used to go and make a very meager living day by day. Right? He made enough to barely scrape out for his family so that they had what to eat, barely for that day, and half of what he made that day he would give to the Shomer HaPetach to get into the Beis Medrash to listen to Shir Shmai and Avtalion, and half of it he would give to the support of his family so that they could, you know, survive. One day, right, we all know the story, right? One day, Hillel is not able to make anything, he's absolutely broke, he has no money, he can't pay to get into the Beis Medrash. So what does he do? Who remembers? He goes up on the roof. And it's snowing, and he gets covered in snow. He's listening to Shemayim Vitali, give this year. What do we see there? It's exactly what Hillel said, right? It's not that Hillel preaches this idea. This is what Hillel did. Hillel had a day on which he could have said, Kishef Neshna, when the opportunity arises, when I'm able to. Today it's impossible. I literally don't have a penny. I don't have anything to pay for it. It's not my fault. I went, I tried to work, I tried to make the money. I don't have anything. I can't do it. But Hillel says no. Im ein ani li mili. And al tamar kishef ne'eshneh shema lo tipaneh. Right? And that's what Hillel does. That's the story of Hillel. Right? So, let's go a step further. This is what we have in terms of Hillel. Okay? Very, very briefly, there's much, much more to discuss, but very briefly, that's the story of Hillel. Let's now switch channels, and let's go to the story of Rebbe ben Derdaya. Okay, again, very briefly, we're not going to do the whole thing in depth, but just very quickly, Reb Elez ben Derdaya doesn't start off as Reb Elez ben Derdaya, of course. But then again, who does, right? He starts off, Eliezer ben Dodaya, and he's this person who's famous for having been a customer of every zona in the world. Now, that's probably an exaggeration. But even so, right, even so, that says something about what he was like. Here is this person who, this is his, I don't know, his hobby, Guinness Book of World Records, whatever it is, that he's been to every zona that exists. He hears about the zona, Bikrache Hayam, right on the islands, and Vaitano Telekiz Dinrin Bisfara, charges this phenomenal amount of money, and Natal Kiz Dinrin Vahalach Vavara Leha Shivan Arot. So he goes, and he travels far, over seven rivers to get to her, and finally, Bishat Her Galdavar, Igam Amra, Geshem Jevigazo, Ina Choseret Lukoma, Kach, Eliez Mendaya, Ein Mekab Motab Tshuva. Incredible thing. The zona gives him Musar, and says, who says you're ever going to do tshuva? Okay? Who says you're ever going to do tshuva? And incredibly, he's so shaken by this statement that he goes off and he decides he's going to do tshuva. Now, I want to think about this for a moment. There's so much to discuss detail by detail, but just the gadol. What does it mean? Here's this person. He's the biggest lowlife. He's not ein zona achat be'olam shelo ba'ala. And he hears that he might not be able to do tshuva and he's so shaken by it. This is a person where he was sitting there, you know, waiting outside her door, reading Masil HaSisharim. You know, he's like, he rings Shari Tshuva. He's waiting to figure out how he's going to do Tshuva. And the Zona says, no, I don't think he'll be able to do Tshuva. It's only Hilchot Tshuva of the Rambam, right? And what's going on? Was that really what was on his mind? What is that? She said this to him and he was so shaken. It's such a strange thing. But the Pshat is, there's a very deep psychological point. We all know that every human being has inside of themselves an image, a picture of who they really want to be, who they really believe themselves to ultimately be, and that's who they imagine that someday they're going to be that person. That's who they really want to be. That's how they really see themselves. What they're doing today, okay, that's what they're doing today. No, it's later on. How many times have someone said to us or to someone around us, you know, when I go to learn in Israel for the year, then I'm going to be like this or do this or whatever. And whenever you hear someone say something like that, right, a little bit, all the time. When I'm older, when I'm a grown-up, when I'm married, when I'm a parent, when I'm this, when I'm that, when I'm the other. Eliezer ben Dodaya, and by the way, I just want to point out, when you think about this, this huge dichotomy between who we ultimately want to be and what we spend our today on, what we spend our time doing. I'm not talking about people sitting in this room. But in general, you know, you look at the classic example, think about it. You go, you know, if you've ever heard a eulogy, go to Levi and you hear a eulogy or read a eulogy or whatever, and you see what they say about people, right? And they talk about, what do they talk about? So do they talk about, you know, ever hear a rabbi or a priest or whatever it is, get up at a funeral and say, I'd now like to read to you this person's, the figure in his bank account. I'd like to tell you now exactly, you know, what car he had, what kind of a house he had, and, you know, how many rooms in the house. Right? The family would be mortified. You know what I mean? That's not what we want to hear about this. You know, that's not what we want to say about who he was and what was. We want to hear about what a good person. And then you look at the average person and what they're spending their life on and what they're doing and what their main focus is. It's very interesting. Right, it's a very interesting dichotomy. And that's what you have here. Eliezer ben Dodaya looks at himself in the mirror, and what does he say? That's not really me. That's who I am today. But you know, I'll get around to becoming the person who I really want to be. And what does this Zona say to him? Who says that Eliezer ben Dodaya is ever going to do tshuva? You think you're going to do tshuva? If you have an image of who you want to be, then that's who you have to be today, or you at least have to be acting in such a way that you're getting towards there. But you think that you're going to be coming, you know, to me across these seven rivers with this Kishchel Dinrim, and you know, and that's what you spend all your time on, and you think that you're going to be Rabbi Lezer Ben Jedaiah someday. How do you think that's going to happen? It doesn't work that way. Right? That's the story of Rabbi Lezer Ben Jedaiah. He hears that, he realizes, oh my God, who says I'm ever going to become that person? I mean, this, the person I see in the mirror today, that's who I'm going to be at the end of my life. That's who I'm ultimately going to be. And that shakes him to the core. That's number one. Number two. He then goes and he sits between Harim Ugvaot, and he starts calling out to the mountains, and he calls out to the stars and the sun. And you read the Gemara, you learned the Gemara, right? Chamovana bikshu alai rachmi. He turns to everything and he says, daven for me, help me. He turns to the rivers and the streams and to the everything. Or in a word, what does he turn to for help? Give me one word. What does he turn to? What? Okay, perhaps
nature
or his environment, right? This is his environment. He's turning to every aspect of the environment, every aspect of his surroundings, and saying, Big Sholai Rachman, what is the Gemara really saying? The second great cop, the first great cop out is, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it at this point in my life. I'll change eventually. And the second is, that it depends on everyone else, everything else. It depends on circumstances, depends on situation, depends on the environment. When I'm in the right environment. So Eliezer Ben Jedaiah, when he finally accepts responsibility in terms of doing it now, he then says, okay, let the environment influence me. Let the Shamayim Va'aretz, the Harim Ugvaot, the Na'arim, the Yamim U'Na'arim, the Chamal Vana, the Kochavim U'Mazalot. Until he comes to the realization, Ein hadavar talui elabi. It's up to me. It's not up to anyone else. It's up to me. And when he has these two realizations, then and only then he's able to do tshuva. He becomes Rabbi Lezer Ben Jedaiah. Okay. Just a tiny bit further. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the great Rebbe, here's the story of Rabbi Lezer Ben Jedaiah. Here's how this bat kol comes out and says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Jedaiah mezumen l'chayel maba. And he says, he cries, and he says, Bacha Rebbe v'amar, yesh kon olamo b'kama shanim, v'yesh kon olamo b'sha'ah achat. Why is Rebbe crying? What's he crying about? I want to suggest the following. There's much discussion about why Rebbe cried, what he's upset about. He's upset because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the end of the Gemara, right? Bacha Rabbi va'amar yesh kon olamo b'kama shanim v'yesh kon olamo b'sha'achat. But Eliezer Ben Jedaiah acquires olam haba in an instant. People have to work all their lifetime. People have to work for years and years. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi being an example. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi cries and says, yesh kon olamo b'sha'achat. Why is he crying? I don't think he's crying. I don't believe for a second that he was crying because it's not fair. I have to work for years and years and he has to work for an instant. Not what's going on. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is crying for the following reason. Think about it for a moment. The two things that Rabbi Lezer Ben Jedaiah realizes at the end of his life, what are the two things he realizes? Number one, and I'm going to put in different words and see if you recognize it. The first thing he realizes when the Zona tells him, who says you ever get a chance, etc., Imloach shavei matai, right? And the second thing he realizes, ein adavar talei bi, or in other words, im ein anili mili. He realizes these two principles, right, that are cornerstones in the life of Hillel. But I want to ask you a question. I'll ask you a simple question. Easy question. In the course of your learning, whatever, people have, you know, over the course of your lifetimes have learned different things. In the course of your learning, various Mishnayot, Gemaras, various, all kinds of different stuff in Chazal, have you ever, aside from the sources that we discussed today, not including what's on this page, have you ever learned anything that goes back to Hillel. Ever learn anything from Hillel? You ever heard of Hillel before? Yeah? Yes? Yeah, Hillel Shammai, right? You heard of Hillel? Okay, learn stuff from Hillel, about Hillel. Aside from this one story that we just read, ever learned anything from Eliezer ben Jedaiah? Says Rebbe, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Here's a person, the two lessons that of Hillel's life and Rebbe Eliezer ben Jedaiah are identical. But there's a world of difference. Because yesh kona olamo, right? We all have this tremendous world that could be ours, this tremendous potential that we have. And some people acquire it and are able to utilize that world for a lifetime, for years and years and years, like Hillel, who for decades and decades contributed to Am Yisrael and for centuries and millennium after his death. And to this day, we benefit from the wisdom of Hillel and the goodness of Hillel. Because Hillel understood these things early in life. He understood that he was responsible for his own life, imein ani li mi li, and m'lo shavei matai. And therefore, Hillel became the great Hillel, and he, yesh kona olamo, b'kama shanim. And for years and years, he contributed and had what a productive, beautiful life. Rebbe Eliezer ben Jedaiah also ultimately acquired his life. He ultimately got there. He ultimately did become Rebbe Eliezer ben Jedaiah. But it was b'sha'a achad. It was only in the last minute. And that's all we have of Rebbe Eliezer ben Jedaiah, is that last minute. That's all we have. That's something to cry about. That's what Rebbe says. Right? He cries about the fact that Rebbe Eliezer ben Jedaiah could have been another Hillel. And unfortunately, he wasn't. It was too late. So we have here, and in many other sources, and some of them are on this page, and I'm going to mention just one other one. I think it's fascinating. And a very, very powerful idea. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, and what we have in the Gemara is the last perek, it's Chelek, and Mishnah, it's the 10th perek, talks about Sfar Machitzonim, right? The Apocrypha, books that were not put into the canon of the Torah, of Tanakh, rather, and such as Sefer Ben Sira. And it says that, you know, Kori B'Sfar Machitzonim Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba, and it's clear, we've shown him talk about this already, that what that means, to be Kori B'Sfar Machitzonim, doesn't mean to read them, means to be Kore, in the sense that we're Kore Tanakh, meaning either to use them for Kriyat HaTorah, type of, you know, Haftorah, whatever, or to read them uncritically, right? Like we read Tanakh, we want to know what it's saying to us. We're not judging whether it's right. It's telling us. We're not telling you. Things like Sefer Ben Sira, we read critically. Okay, things that are outside of Tanakh, we read critically. We accept what's good and we reject what's bad. Says the Gemara. How do we know that? Because the Gemara quotes from Sefer Ben Sira. There are many, many sentences from Sefer Ben Sira in Shas. So clearly, it's not that you can't read anything in it. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says there are good things in Sefer Ben Sira, there are bad things in Sefer Ben Sira, I mean, you know, smart things, stupid things, neutral things. One of the good things in Sefer Ben Sira, listen to this quote, Al tatzer tzarat machar, ki lo teida mayilid yom. There's a misprint of it. Ki lo teida mayilid yom. Shema lemachar inenu, v'nsa mitzta'er al olam she'enu shalom. It's my all-time favorite quote. Sefer Ben Sira, it says, don't worry about tomorrow. But why shouldn't you worry about tomorrow? Well, after all, you know, you may not be here tomorrow, you may have died before then, and you'll have ended up worrying about a world that isn't even yours. Not all that worrying for nothing. You know, look on the bright side, maybe you'll be dead by then. So, what is Sefer Ben Sira really saying? What's the Gemara telling us? It's telling us something very beautiful. Sometimes people are so focused on tomorrow, and so focused on that this is how it's going to be tomorrow, and this is what I'm all about, like, what's tomorrow? We forget about today. And the only way we can be kone olamo is by saying, v'imloach shavei matai. By saying that, you know, I can't say, someday I'll be there. I have to start today. I may not get there today, but I have to start today. I have to be living in such a way that I'm headed that way. And therefore, says Sefer Ben Sira, Mara quotes that if a person is only worried about tomorrow, he may end up finding when he gets to tomorrow that's an olam she'eno shelo, that he hasn't acquired that tomorrow, because the way to acquire tomorrow is by living properly today. And if we don't grab onto today, so forget, we're not going to have that tomorrow. I think that that's the key here. What Rabbi Elazar ben Dedaya for years and decades failed to grasp, and what Hillel at an early age grasped and therefore became the great Hillel. So I just wanted to focus on these two ideas. Again, number one, in Ein Ani L'Imili, that's true. We should pick the best possible environment, for sure. We should try to find the best influences, the best setting. We should try to create the best environment for others that we can, the best setting, and have the best influence. That's all true. But ultimately, Ein Adavar Tali Elabi. Ultimately, I have to have responsibility. I have to take responsibility for myself. And if I don't, so what am I? And what's more, I can't say Kisha if Nashna, I can't say, you know, it has to be Vimloach Shaveh Matai. Those are the two keys. Those are the two keys to becoming, to really becoming who we want to be. And not just God forbid when it's too late, but while there's still the opportunity to have to be Kona Olamo, to acquire that world that is really ours, and to actualize that tremendous potential that we each have. Okay, I think we're going to stop at this point, but let's get to the basic point. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we should.